Hey everyone, welcome to More Than Mises. Guys, we are jumping back into The Enemy Within by Simon Furman. We are in part four right now, and Boo, thanks for being here again to help out.
Hey.
Let's get into this. Man, okay, first of all, I got to jump in here and say that the cover was great. I love seeing a jump from the turnbuckle. And then drawn on Starscream. And then the letter of the editor talks about a contest. They love giveaways.
Boy, do they.
Man, they're giving away something every issue. Like, we never had this besides the Marvel No Prize.
Right. I mean, yeah, they're getting two free gifts again.
The, what is it? The little, like,
there's an Optimus Prime badge, and then they've got the calendar featuring Sideswipe.
Sideswipe. His face looks so sad. Did you ever zoom in on his face?
No, I didn't zoom in that closely on his face.
Oh, he's super sad looking.
Oh, yeah. He is.
He looks like he's sad that he was drawn so badly in the last couple issues.
He's got, like, Joel Hodgson's, like, sarcastic face.
Or if anyone knows what that is, Wind Charger from last issue face,
right?
So Sideswipe has not lived up to his character, but we have Autobot Fact File. We have Prowl, the military strategist.
Yes,
which I'll tell you, like, I don't like the character at all. I love the voice actor. Michael Bell's great. The character of Prowl, not a fan, man.
Well, I mean, it's not like they developed much of a character for him because he was just, I mean, he's like good Shockwave, so
yeah, Spock. Pretty much, yeah. He was like a very patient drill sergeant.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's whatever, man.
Well, I think the most notable thing he did in the cartoon was let Chip Chase control him.
That's right, he did. I forgot about that. But I mean, honestly, it's well deserved. I mean, especially for since that uppercut he took last issue, that brawn uppercut.
Oh yeah,
you get the Autobot Fact File. Good job.
See, that was one of those emotional, actions that he couldn't, be prepared for because he's so logical.
Yeah,
he won't really. Yeah, the unexpected can often scramble his circuits, like Bronze Fist.
Where's the fist or is it a claw?
Clamp with these clamps.
We get in the letters column, and Christopher Toynbee loves Transformers and somehow Machine Man too. He loves Machine Man. He's like talked about how great it was.
Yeah, but he really loved. He made it a PS.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
but he always ran out to his local comic shop that are always sold out or really low stock on the Transformers comics. Poor guy.
Yeah, I was surprised because, when I first glanced at his letter and I saw sold out and I saw Sideswipe, I was like, oh, he's having trouble finding Sideswipe. Right? No, he can't find the comics. He's got Sideswipe. Because it seems like in the stock exchange, they're always asking for Sideswipe.
Yeah, maybe they like the sad guy.
He's the guy that's got Sideswipe. He's hoarding the Sideswipes.
He's got them all.
That's why nobody in the letters column can get it in stock exchange.
He's getting his Optimus Prime for Sideswipe.
Oh yeah.
So there are also these best of lists already, which we're used to the internet nowadays, like BuzzFeed, top 10 tier lists kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the writers, people writing in, have like started dropping their top 10 lists, like best cover, like issue number one, best story, Man of Iron, best Fact File, Optimus Prime and Skywarp, and best issue number 12. They're like giving these best of lists, which
it's kind of early.
It kind of is.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't disagree with them at all, but I mean, Man of Iron is a good story.
Maybe it's because they got more issues
that could
than
be
we did by this point.
Yeah. Oh, also, this issue in this letters column, we see the Transformers Shooting Stars marble set, which someone on AG brought up.
That was Jay Azrael.
That's right. He sent a colored picture. We actually have a black white in this. But Jay actually was really cool bringing that up. It was almost like he expected us to be talking about this in a number of weeks. But really cool.
He sees the big picture.
I guess so. The marbles unfortunately are plastic, so you're not winning any marble offs with that. They're not glass.
Like yeah, so
the shooters.
They're not. Well, I mean, I guess glass marbles aren't really marble either, but
you know, come on.
I don't think I ever messed with plastic marbles. They were always at least glass, you know.
Yeah, the glass with those really cool like psychedelic designs, the kind of leaved colors aside.
Yeah, like the cat eye and stuff.
Yeah, really cool stuff. Jamie Ward calls Machine Man comic Brill. I'm assuming Brill is good.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's short for brilliant.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry, I don't know the UK kids slang, man, from the
80s. We're not up on all the kids lingo,
right? But he is a
day or from our own time, apparently.
He's a Gears Garvin fanboy.
Yeah, wow,
that's
that was one I didn't expect. Like, man, they really like some Gears Garvin.
I guess he likes the guy. He likes the middle-aged I guess gigolo who hammers out his engagement rings for gold foil to save Machine Man.
Right.
And makes him a unicycle.
If Gears Garvin was written today, he'd be like, "I'm cranking my hog."
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, because he's like a motorcyclist tinkerer, you know, had a layer down.
He's definitely a character from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be played by Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman was already on Sons of Anarchy.
No, I mean, if he played Gears Garvin, like they did a live-action Machine Man,
oh, yeah.
They'd get Ron Perlman 100%. To play him. Yeah.
Yeah, 10 years ago, maybe Chris Christopherson, but yeah. Definitely Ron Perlman now.
They could just do them both and just switch out halfway through the movie and see if anybody notices.
Yeah, Ron Perlman's a big guy, man. Even old, he's a big guy. So
so in the stock exchange, we have was it Christopher Ricard? Mm-hmm. Rickard?
Yeah.
He wanted a sideswipe. See, looking for sideswipe. And he was willing to swap a Gears and two Robo-Machines.
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 Guess what those are?
Those are GoBots. Those are European GoBots. So
a Psykill and a Leader 1 plus Gears for a Psykill.
Right.
I mean, honestly, you think about it, that's not too bad. I've come like around for, GoBots weren't as bad as I remember them.
Oh, yeah. No, they weren't that bad then either.
I mean, they were like a whole toy line of minibots that had metal on them.
Well, yeah, they're very dense. They had a lot of metal in them.
You could take out someone breaking into your house with a tank.
Oh yeah, man! If somebody threw that at you, you know you're going to the ER. Yeah, especially super GoBots, man. Yeah, they'd knock you out.
Oh, the was it what was the VW bug? It was Bug.
Oh, Bug Bite.
Bug Bite. Yeah. You
know, who is now an official Transformer? So.
Well, they bought the rights to GoBots. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, Bug Bite was one of my favorite ones. Also, what was the like futuristic car? The
Psycho.
Psycho. That one's one I saw a lot. I liked him too. I think you can appreciate things more nowadays than you did because it was almost this competition between Transformers and GoBots.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't mind seeing like Psycho get revisited for Transformers.
Oh yeah, well like you told me, your kids watched GoBots and loved it. It was
oh yeah, hard. They still asked to watch them.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah,
there's also a nice drawing of Mikros.
Yeah, Mikros got some love here.
Or our Greek, the alien robot. I'm sure it's probably Mikros, but
I think it's Mikros. But I mean, it looks Greek. It really Mikros. Looks like Mikros. Yeah, and he looks almost like a radiation suit wearing like one of the mask helmets.
He does. Holy, oh yeah, yep, 100%. God, that's fantastic. That was David Playl from Swindon, Wiltshire.
I guess that's
short of Wilts.
Yeah, Wiltshire.
Wiltshire. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm a very American. It's Wiltshire, not Wiltshire. Sorry. If anyone in the UK is listening, I'm so American, it hurts.
Your Welsh ancestors are very upset with you right now.
My Welsh ancestors are pissed at that I'm not using words without vowels. Are you kidding me? Speaking of which, though, Chromobots.
Chromobots.
We jump right into this issue of Chromobots. And Transmute wises up and disguises himself as a kid about Dudley's age.
He's got sideswipe sad face.
He does. He really does.
He just looks completely unimpressed with Dudley's mom.
They're like, Dudley's like, we're gonna go to my room, and Dudley's mom is just like, she suggests that they go to his room, and he's gone already, but she also seems concerned for old Dudders. Dudley, she's like, I almost feel like she's like almost like a helicopter parent. She's worried about him with another boy in his room.
But where was she earlier when like there was a catastrophe in the house? When Micro showed up, mom was nowhere to be seen.
Oh, that's okay. Dad was going to jump in on him. He could have been exploring himself as a young teenage boy, or he could have been reading comics. We don't know. But the dad jumps in there he's freaked out. But mother, I mean, maybe she likes the box of wine, Franzia. She's just like, oh, I'm just going to sit here and drink my wine.
Mom's got some David Koresh glasses on.
She really does.
He butchers Transmute's name. He's like Ben or Ren or Lenny. Like that doesn't seem suspicious at all.
Yeah, he does. He goes through the laundry list. He sounds like someone's grandma going, which child are you? Which grandchild are you? But they go back to his room, and Dudley tells Transmute that he's supposed to come clean. So Transmute, transmutes into his regular, 6-foot-tall robot form. And because that doesn't shock anyone, he gets all blingy again and starts telling him the story about why they're there.
Yeah, all of a sudden the strip got really wordy.
It did. It was like a exposition time.
Yeah.
But I gotta say though, the story isn't really bad. The names are terrible though. It tells them about a criminal named Predator. I mean, not the best.
I mean, I'm seeing a pattern. You had the creepy hobo form that Transmute had, last time coming after following Dudley through the park. So yep. I mean, it's not the first Predator we've run into in this strip.
She says they come from Chroma 5 and they're better than us, so they got rid of the nuclear weapons. Like, we're more advanced than you, so we got rid of all of our nuclear weapons. But since we have them, Predator, which terrible name, has come to Earth to combine nuclear weapons with their advanced tech. So
yeah, and he's going to use it to take over both planets.
Yeah, we're being shamed again for being people.
Wasn't this the plot to Stargate?
It kind of was, yeah. Actually,
yeah,
it really was. But maybe the people for Stargate got the idea from this.
Maybe.
Oh boy, because this is what, 1985?
Yeah, this is 1985. This is well before Stargate was a blip on the radar.
We should see who wrote Stargate. Maybe there's some collaboration.
Maybe they just read these comics.
Look at that too.
And going back, we missed the Robo Capers.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, please. Yes, go
yes.
For it. I meant to go back.
So we have the, I guess there's Zeponians is what they're called. I did a little research into these. And the main bad guy here, you haven't seen his name. We'll see his name later, but he basically becomes known as King No-Nose.
King No-Nose.
Yeah, like somebody got his nose and never gave it back. He has no nose.
I love that he puts this a robot. Like, why do you think it's got robotic waddle?
Yes. I mean, I think I have that now at my age.
Yeah, well,
robotic waddle.
It's not robotic. That's just a waddle.
That's just too much barbecue.
Oh, I know. I grilled some chicken tonight, stuffed with pesto and Swiss. That was good.
Oh, nice.
Waddle the rest of the evening.
So yeah, he created Tiny Tin, the micro robot, and yeah, he made it about two panels before another Zipponian who has crossed eyes walked in and stepped on him.
What a horrible, horrible enemy the robot would be with his little waddle.
This is almost like a prototype for like Pinky and the Brain. Like Brain always has this great idea and then Pinky just ruins it. And it seems like King No Nose is the brain with a kingdom full of Pinkies.
Yeah, except, it's one of the best things. The wife and I got to meet the voice actor for Pinky, which is also the voice actor for Yakko. He's so nice. Such a nice guy. He's funny too. Back one of the Pensacons, I made sure she came with me one year, and she met Bulk and Skull, the Power Rangers, and the Red Ranger, and the woman who played the robot. Blanking on the name right now. Then a bunch of people, but it was really cool meeting Pinky's voice actor. He was such a nice guy. Really wish she'd gotten a picture with him, but I don't bother him. Him and Maurice LaMarche also. Who did Brain?
Oh
they
yeah,
were fantastic together. You can see.
You're talking about Rob Paulson,
Rob,
right?
Ron Perlman, Rob Perl, yeah. Sorry,
Rob Paulson.
Rob Paulson. I'm thinking Ron. Okay, this whole time because you said Ron Perlman, I think Ron Perlman. I was like, that's not right. Rob Paulson, super nice guy. Rob Paulson and Maurice LaMarche together were fantastic. So nice. But yeah, we were.
Yeah, you're
able
getting
to,
your Transformers mixed up.
Well, no, dude, you said Ron Perlman. I can't help that.
Oh, no. But he was also Rob Paulson was Air Raid and Slingshot.
That's right. He was. He's two of the aerial bots.
Yeah. He also did Fastlane, Chase, and Haywire in Rebirth.
I don't remember that, but not that I would have watched Rebirth.
The main one, everyone's going to know him as is Slingshot. That's, what he got the most lines as.
Yeah, Slingshot was the worst of the aerial bots. Yes, Slingshot.
The most interesting, though,
like Swindle,
right? He's the one that was always bucking the rules. Like every time the aerial bots did something bad, it was like Slingshot was like the voice of, I guess, illogic.
Yeah, especially in Carbomia.
Oh yeah, well, whenever it came time to not listen to Silverbolt, it was Slingshot right there.
Silverbolt was a really bad leader, though.
Yeah,
not a good leader.
He's like, come on, guys,
let's just work together. And you had a bunch of Top Gun pilots with a guy who was just terrible. He was like an American Airlines pilot with a bunch of Top Gun pilots.
I'm trying to think who was the little dork that Beavis and Butthead were always beating up. Stewart, was that his
Stewart,
name? Stewart,
Stewart, yes,
yeah. See, Silverbolt was the Stewart of the aerial bots, and like. All the other Aerobots were Beavis and Butthead.
He had the winger t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on, guys. It's a bad idea. I don't think we should be doing this.
Come on, Stuart. Just do it. Come on. Cool. Yeah, cool.
Shut up, my wife.
We go into another Secret Wars advert. They are pushing the Secret Wars right now because of Crisis is going to come out as well, or coming out at the same point time.
Yeah.
So they are pushing Secret Wars.
And this one's marked top secret and it's partially open, but they already showed us this the last time. So it's like
they did this curtains. There's curtains half over this, but they already showed the same picture.
Yeah.
We all know what's happening.
So are the curtains closing on it? Because I don't know.
But man, we get into the issue with the Enemy Within Part 4, Trial and Error.
We finally get to some Transformers stuff.
Yeah, it only took half an issue. We start out with like Braun picks up a boulder and hurls at a Starscream. I love this. Starscream's doing all he can to stay out of the way of Braun's aggression.
Oh yeah, and I mean that's a very large round boulder. Boulder. Like it just,
he I mean, just picks up a small house and throws it at Starscream.
Yeah,
his little claw arms.
His little claw arms. Those are giant rocket Starscream. Starscream just dodges it.
Oh yeah, it almost looks like Bronze picking up a big rock with chopsticks. They're so thin. And I love the fact they're using very toy accurate art for this, but
yeah,
it really loses something at like times like this. But yeah, so he throws at Starscream, and they're going at it for a while. I think we're supposed to realize they've been doing this for quite a while already, like going back and forth.
Yeah, it's like mid fight when we jump into it,
and basically it's a whole fight where it's endurance versus agility. Like, you know, Starscream's agile, he's fast, and Braun is just tough and thick, and he has a lot of endurance. And it's just like, who's gonna like win out? Is the quick, I guess, rogue or thief gonna win out, or is the warrior with all the heavy armor and stuff gonna win out?
Right, you got your tank versus almost like a ranger type, I'd say.
We're going to go into D&D terms, yes.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then it turns into a chase.
It does, and it's Bronn goes this whole thing where he's goes full on towards a cliff wall and, like, does this quick turn, and Starscream has to do the whole, if you watch Independence Day where, you know, Will Smith had to go straight up pretty much, you know, it's a whole, it's the trope where a jet has to pull straight up, which doesn't really work that way, up a rock wall.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of too.
Yeah.
And they did it twice. Like, once they did it with the alien fighter, but they also did it earlier with the guy that tried to bank near the shields and couldn't and hit the shields and blew up. So,
yeah, it's a trope for a reason, but I mean, it's a good trope. So, Starscream avoids a rock wall and
barely. I mean, he rakes it and he's got like some fire blazing from his fuselage there.
He does, and it's kind of cool to see this. This is not a one-sided fight at all. This is a knockdown drag out.
Yeah, I mean, it really should be more one-sided though, because Braun has like no ranged weapons except for like a rock every once in a while.
But man, I'm gonna get ahead right now. But there is such good stuff coming up. But yeah, do you see this little panel of this cobbled together weird floating camera thing? That they're all in the arc watching it like it's like you know, some I don't know, reality TV stuff.
It looks like somebody glued a bunch of cosmoses together.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Oh man, I've learned I have to keep my phone open on the issue while I'm talking to you so I can remember everything that happened in the issue. It does. It looks like they took a bunch of cosmos who fell apart and they glued them all together and like sent them up in the air.
Remember the Bumble Balls?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. They glued a bunch of cosmos to a bumble ball.
Kind of does. Wow. So yeah, there's a Bumblebee, Prowl, and who is that? Is this who is that? Is it also in the scene with them?
It's hard to say. I mean, it could be Sideswipe or Red Alert.
Yeah, I don't know. They've gotten Sideswipe wrong so far, so it's probably Sideswipe.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's they're all like kind of watching the battle and worrying about what's going to happen next. And in Prowl's like, what about Mirage? Where's he at? Isn't he supposed to be there as you know, his helper? And we go to a little like panel with Optimus Prime is like kind of worrying, like, all right, you know, Mirage, anytime you want to do your special thing, that'd be really cool.
Oh yeah, his
very
his special power.
Accurate, yeah, very toy accurate drawn head, by the way.
Oh, very much so. Yellow eyes and all that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, just listening to that, though, about, you know, we're going to need your power soon, Mirage. I was thinking, like, was the search for Alpha Trion? Elita 1, don't use your special power, you know?
Oh, Elita.
And then, yeah, Ravage, he has, like, that's a very, I guess, impressive camera.
Is that a camera or is that a cannon? I can't.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, with Decepticons, is there a difference?
Yeah, you're not wrong. It's like
a camera is just a fancy scope.
It's like he's got a futuristic looking howitzer on the back of his on his back.
Yeah,
it's a yeah. It was
it's plugged into his cassette holes.
It is actually. You
yeah.
know, actually, it reminds me of. Do you remember the cameras on the Max Headroom TV show?
Yeah,
kind of reminds me of how they looked. They had this like this kind of like this this, I don't know, exaggerated kind of look to them. So yeah, it kind of reminds me of that.
They're futuristic.
Yeah. Like an alien technology.
Right.
Because
I was thinking, would he really need, you know, a camera? Because, you know, his eyes are cameras and he's a recording device. So, I mean, you'd think he would need extras.
All right, man. Are you going to rethink this?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Like every other Transformers fan. But, right. So, yeah.
I mean, it looks cool. So, I guess rule of cool.
It does. It looks great. So. He doesn't have his missiles on him. So, there's that. Starscream goes, "Where are you, bro? Are you afraid to face me?" So that, oh gosh, I just closed out my issue. That whole point, that back when the Autobots were watching them, they're watching Brawn climb the side of this like cliff, this like sheer rock face. They're like, he's gonna die, and Starscream doesn't see what he's done. But man, the next panel, he does a top of the turnbuckle elbow drop onto Starscream.
Yeah, he gave him the people's elbow.
He did. It was great, man. I was in it. I said this to Ed. Ed, I hope you're doing okay, man. I hope you're feeling better. Give him a little.
Yes.
He needs a little break from life at the moment. But man, we're laughing about this. Braun does the people's elbow, as he so aptly called it, onto Starscream and rides Starscream.
See, Braun doesn't need a ranged weapon because Braun is a ranged weapon.
Yes, he's a weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a ranged weapon. He's got boulders and his own elbow. But he lands.
It turns into a rodeo.
He does. And, you know, Starscream does a whole, like, you know, swirling thing in the air. And then he realizes, oh, wait, you're exactly where I want you. So he transforms in midair and drops with this really cool scene of his face with his Oakleys on. It's like the big chin. It's a very Marvel villain kind of look. Drops Braun onto the ground, full force. Which, you know, that's actually really good because
I'm kind of digging the Seekers with their gargoyle sunglasses on.
They're great, actually. I'm really liking this look. And you know, as Braun starts pulling himself into a cave, he starts crawling, and Starscream is just like he's taking his victory lap, and yeah, the cave will afford you a little protection. But Rosh pops up and he's like, oh, now's my time.
Yeah, he's hiding behind a rock.
Yep. And there's this it's kind of sketchy look of Braun, like, you know, holding his hand up like he's just surrendering. And Starscream shoots a couple missiles at him, which, by the way, if you look at him really closely, they're exactly the toy missiles.
Oh, yeah, those are the toy missiles that everybody lost.
100%. And there's a whole thing with Braun standing there, and the let me read this a little bit here. They say a man's life flashes before him in moments like this. Can the same be said of an Autobot? Does Braun see his life on Cybertron, the war with the Decepticons, the arrival on Earth in these last microseconds? Next, endings and beginnings.
And Braun has like the saddest Braun face.
He does, but I love the art.
It's a sad face issue.
Well, yeah, wait till we get the sideswipe. man, that's kind of cool. I have all these notes. I didn't even need my notes because I enjoyed it so much. But dude, we get to hear Machine Man again. But I'm gonna say at the beginning here, I'm gonna curse myself right now. I enjoyed this. This is such a fun, weird issue.
Yeah, like I said, it grows on you.
It does, like a fungus.
Like his mechanical tendrils wrapping around you.
I've seen that episode. So Rollins, the butler, brings Sunset a message with the reverse Rorschach image on it, like the guys with the reverse Rorschach masks.
Yeah.
So she shoos everyone, like, all right, like, everyone get out of here. I've got to, all you senators and councilmen, I got to do something. and she does the Wonder Woman turnaround and becomes Madame Menace.
Yeah, and her hairstyle completely changes. Like, she went from like an elegant goth hairdo to
villain?
Dracula Betty Boop. I don't know.
So yeah, she must have done like a Wonder Woman turnaround and like transformed into Madame Menace.
Maybe she had like the bat pole. She had like the menace pole that she went down.
Now the thief is unblindfolded and Madame Menace offers 1,000 for the arm. The thief is like, nah, I'm at 20,000. So she takes him through her R&D department where she shows off a cockroach that are developing that eats human flesh.
So a regular cockroach then.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh, human flesh.
Yeah.
He freaks out and gives Krager. He freaks out and Krager offers her to, hey, take the arm. My compliments. She's like, no. I'm a businesswoman. I believe we should pay for what we have. So she's like, take the 1,000 and we'll call it good.
So yeah, honor among thieves, I guess.
I guess. She wasn't gonna pay his scalper rates, and you get 1,000 for that. But she's gonna use the arm to track old X-51 and reprogram him as her enforcer.
Yeah, because she doesn't want the arm. She wants the whole robot.
She wants the whole X-51. And yeah. So back in Aaron Stack's apartment, Peter Spaulding and Gears Garvin are having such a little, I don't know, it's like catty little fight.
Yeah, well, it's like they're polar opposites. You know, you've got your grease monkey that lives in a junkyard.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, you got Peter Spaulding, who's almost like Warren Worthington, you know. You know, Angel, he seems like he had a life of privilege.
Oh, yeah. But Jamie, was it Jamie? Was the name of the reader? Yes, Jamie Ward. You get your Gears Garvin, scene here.
Yeah, he gets his fix right here.
Yeah, Gears Garvin is like, yeah, man. Look, you know, basically he's called. He basically refers to Peter as not quite this, but it's kind of a dandy.
Yeah,
and Peter's like, oh yeah, you're just a grease monkey with a beer belly.
Basically, it's like Spaulding's telling him that he smells bad and he's stinking up the apartment, pretty much.
And Gears Garvin's like, yeah, your affluence is really annoying, and I hate you. That's kind of how it comes out. But Machine Man chastises them both, and if they cannot afford to rebuild that basically, Gears Garvin's like, we should, you know, rebuild the arm and blah blah blah. But they're fighting, and Machine Man chastises them both. He can't afford to rebuild the new arm. And he's not an appliance with replacement parts. Which, is he not, really?
I mean, he just doesn't want to wait for the parts. I get that.
He has an exclamation, I am a person! It's my arm, and I want it back.
But, you know, this is, I guess Marvel is really good at this. You finally get character development when you have conflict between the good guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, how much dialogue would there be in X-Men if Wolverine and Cyclops got along? Right? How much would you even know about either one of them
if
those two weren't fighting all the time?
If he didn't constantly want to be with Jean Grey.
Right. Yeah. And here they're fighting over Machine Man.
Which, come on. Not really the same, but we'll go with that.
Well, you know, it's like when you got two buddies, you know, and they both like you, but they don't like each other. And, you know, you couldn't leave them in a room together.
Oh, God. Is that what happened with me?
Yes.
Huh. Well, okay.
You're having, like, Vietnam flashbacks over there.
Oh, Sean, you're a good friend, man. I'm sorry it turned out the way it did. Anyways, real life story. Gears leaves and Peter feels bad for bickering at a time like this. Peter's like, well, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I feel really terrible about what I did. But he admits he doesn't like Gears because that's what he calls him, the beer-bellied mechanic that irritated him. Like, no, he doesn't say it's a thought bubble.
Right.
But Peter tells old X-51 to unwind by playing some Billy Joel and watching Carson. That is a time capsule.
Yeah, won't you smoke some Marlboro Reds while you're at it?
we're gonna listen to a little Kokomo. But Machine Man says he has no time for his usual pleasures and is going out. So usually Machine Man hangs out, listens to Billy Joel, and watches Carson.
Oh man.
I can't hate him anymore.
I guess. I mean, it just seems very milquetoast.
It's very 80s. Milquetoast. Yeah. Machine Man is the whitest guy I've ever seen in a comic.
Yeah.
And he's not even a guy. He's a robot trying to be a guy. He's a robot trying to be a white guy. He's emulating it so much, it comes off as unbelievable.
I mean, that's kind of like your young urban professionals in the 80s. I mean, that's...
Wait. Do you remember the... Are you trying to talk about the yuppies?
The yuppies. I mean...
Young urban professional. Yeah. Yuppies. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, that was the best part of American Psycho. Was like, do you like Huey Lewis in the News?
Exactly. That's what I thought here. I mean, that's a vibe I was getting from, you know.
Peter's like, yeah. Do you like Billy Joel? I for one, am a piano man. But you might like Uptown Girl. I feel he really came to his own. Sorry.
Pete wants to check out his business card. That's yeah. Where I'm going with this. You know?
is that eggshell?
He's got a watermark.
It's 100% this.
Yeah. But, and I mean, you want to make, I guess, Peter's following mayonnaise seem spicy. You put in Machine Man next to him, who is like more white and bland than, you know, American Psycho over here.
White bread is too spicy for this for X-51.
Right. And he's putting raisins in the potato salad.
This is zesty. But She-Man walks for hours and ends up at a tavern where the media tells him all the lowlife hang out. So he's like, well, the shows I've watched tell me all the lowlife hang out in taverns. So I'm going to check it out.
Gears could have slapped together an arm for him in this amount of time.
He did. That's the point.
Yeah. It's just like...
The people are wondering what he's doing. The one guy thinks he's casing the place for movie locations.
He looks like a flasher.
He does. He's got the trench coat on.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have his Aaron Stack disguise on.
He's got his Aaron Stack glasses, though. I mean...
That's it. He's like purple hands... Or hand, sorry,
hand.
The purple boots, and he's got his his Hagars on. You know, he's got his like slacks on, and a trench coat.
Well, and he's got his empty sleeve like tucked into a pocket. So he's a guy in a trench coat with one hand in his pocket walking around in the bad part of town. I'm like, man,
do you like Thai lady boys?
Everybody's looking at you.
Yeah. That's it. That is terrible.
You know, Ninja Turtles are looking at this in their trench coats and going, man, that's a bad disguise.
Raphael's like, no one will believe that disguise. But yeah, he's got like the glasses and the face on, but he goes to the bartender. He's like, what does he say here? Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, real quick before we move on. That's where the full page of Sideswipe image with the calendar for readers. And Sideswipe's face looks so sad. He's got the wind charger eyes from last episode or last issue. Well, also episode. But this guy named Barrett Benson, he comes up on Machine Man and starts talking about who he's connected to. But Machine Man says, I'm well connected and he needs a line on his missing arm.
Okay, well, here's where I really start to question this bar, because, you know, he's looking for an underworld bar, right?
Yeah.
But he goes in here, there are no women in this bar at all, and a guy named Bear comes up and says, you looking for anything special, pal?
Yeah. The way the bear looks, and the other guy, I guess, I also called him Mr. Clean. We'll get his name is Gorlick. They all look like the Sandman from Spider-Man should be hanging out this bar too, with a striped sweater. It's this big mook looking guys. So yeah, one of Bear's buddies who looks like Mr. Clean, as my notes say, is about to smash Machine Man with a chair, but Machine Man shoots his fist at the guy without turning around. He does a whole like behind the back. Boom.
Well, that's because he made Bear faint.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
He saw his robot wrist. Okay. So like I said, this huge guy named Bear faints.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Gorlick.
Okay, yeah, and he's the connection for everything that goes down around here.
Okay. Yep.
I mean, they're telegraphing this, but I think Machine Man's in the village. Bear wants to know if you're looking for anything special, and he faints when he sees you have a robot arm.
Yep. Oh man.
Yeah. That's
fantastic.
This is code.
I love that the Mr. Clean, he's the next guy. He's a bald, mook looking guy. His name is Gorlick. He sounds like someone's half orc barbarian.
Yeah, he's got it looks like he's got a Fu Manchu.
He does. Goatee.
Yeah.
He 100% does.
Yeah.
But yeah, when he punches Gorlick across the bar, these other people are like, oh, yeah, we haven't had a fight in here in a while. And a brawl breaks out in the bar.
They all start just beating the crap out of each other for no reason. Machine Man punches one guy.
It's like the movie Airplane, where everyone starts panicking the plane. They start wrestling each other and punching each other.
Oh, yeah. Or I was thinking like Blazing Saddles, where like the ballroom brawl spills into like other movies.
I mean, same diff. Same thing, same energy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Machine Man is dogpiled. He reaches up and grabs the light and blows all the fuses by like sending energy up through it. Which that's not really how fuses work, but okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, he could have just broken the bulb. I think it's like the only light bulb in the place.
It was a swinging, like a little single light bulb, which makes actually kind of checks out. But he escapes in the darkness, and he rips off the rips of his suit and admits that he's no Jim Rockford, Rockford Files.
Yeah.
Well, I'm no Jim Rockford. He's basically saying I'm like a really bad detective.
He watches everything that like your grandpa watched in the 80s and
he probably 70s. Loves Perry Mason.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Mannix.
God, I'm having some MST3K flashbacks.
Oh, totally. Yeah, he would totally watch Mitchell.
Mitchell.
He wouldn't watch Kolchak, though. That's too scary for him.
Yeah, but no, definitely not. God. Mitchell never gets old.
Oh, never. Jodan Baker.
Jodan Baker, who is famously not a fan of the treatment MST3K gave him.
Oh, yeah, but he's spark plug.
He really is. Oh, God, I forgot we did made that comparison.
Yep.
He is spark
plug. It all comes back to Mitchell.
I mean, really, he's kind of like Gears Garvin, too.
Oh, totally. Oh, Jodan Baker would be a good Gears
Garvin. Oh, he'd be a fantastic Gears Garvin. He smells like Marlboros and beer. Oh, God. So Machine Man, he basically, Machine Man takes off and he shows up at, I'm sorry. He goes back to his apartment. And he's like, I got to work tomorrow. So he shows up at his apartment and bashes a fake arm out of a folding chair.
Seriously, if he just stayed home and let Gears Garvin do his thing, he'd have been here like hours ago.
He learned nothing at the bar.
Yeah.
Nothing. It was a whole waste of
time. He learned that Bear doesn't like mechanical arms. He doesn't like prosthetics.
No, he learns that Bear has a dark, deep fear of mechanical arms. He probably, like, Bear probably, like, got molested to watching Dynamutt or something. I'm
thinking of Top Secret now.
Oh, God, Top Secret. Inspector Gadget.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He didn't realize they had 220 there instead of 110.
But yeah, so he does a whole like sling thing, saying my arm's sprained, so he can kind of let it hang there as a basically is it's a an arm and a foot of a folding chair that's got a white glove on it.
You got a white glove. So who has a white glove on when you have your arm in a sling? I mean, that would really like stand out, I think.
Not with Machine Man. Come on, it's Aaron Stack. He is a very white milk bread, milk toast, white bread guy.
He's so white they didn't realize it was a white glove. That's how white he is.
The two jealous office mates, Eddie and Mrs. Jones, trade barbs about Aaron. Apparently, though, Eddie said something that they can't quite put in print. So we're assuming that it violates the comics code. But there's some weird, horrible relationship tension between Aaron and Pam.
And yeah, it's horrible because it's just lame.
It is. It's really bad. It is like it's very 50s, 60s movies. You know, like I should court Pamela, and like Pamela's like, oh, I wish she'd court me, but she doesn't want me to court her. She's too good for me. And
you know, this is like the early issues of X-Men between Cyclops and Jean Grey.
It really is.
Yeah.
Wow. And it doesn't get any better. I mean, come on. Who's writing this issue?
This is Tom DeFalco.
DeFalco must have loved early X-Men and wants to emulate it here.
Yeah.
Or even like early, like Spider-Man and, you know, any of the, you know, I'd say Mary Jane.
Yeah,
Gwen Stacy. More Gwen Stacy, I think.
And Betty Brant. There was always
Betty Brant.
That back and forth.
Yeah, this is terrible.
Will she or won't she? That kind of thing.
Yeah. So he gets the gears Garvin's place, and Garvin has fashioned for him a replacement arm with a signal booster on it so he can find his real arm. I mean, all he had to do is go to the gears place and hang out for a little while. Call him sick to work. Yeah, Gears has an arm that has like a, it doesn't have a kind of a weird point on it, but it like has a beacon that comes off. It's very suggestive. Immediately he picks up the signal for his arm and leaves.
Before he left, I was talking about like with Maggie when they're mouthing off at Pamela. She's like, that fish is too cold. If you won't date a swinger like me, why should he want you? And it's like,
if he doesn't want to date a hoe bag like me, I guess he's not going to want you either.
Yeah. It's like, we didn't need to know you were a swinger, Maggie.
Yeah. Well,
no one cares.
No one cares though. No one asked at all. But he gets a signal booster, which leads him to this warehouse where the signal is coming from. It's kind of faint still. But he's suddenly hit with an electromagnetic ray.
Did Madam Menace get another Soul Mac or something?
It kind of looks like it, right?
Right? I'm having flashbacks of Baron Brimstone.
I kind of miss Baron Brimstone.
I was going to say, I think we miss Baron Brimstone now. We didn't get to like rip on him long enough.
Madam Menace is worse.
Gone too soon.
God, yes, exactly. Oh, man, we get the new comic in here, Planet Terry, which is a really nice way to, you know, kind of like riff on the name Planetary.
Yes,
he looks like Richie Rich from the Golden Key comics.
Well, and there's a reason for that.
Why is that?
Well, he was created by Lenny Herman, but he's drawn by Warren Kramer, who worked for Harvey Comics.
Oh, that would make a lot of sense. I mean, it's like a spitting image, like style, the face.
Yeah. Well, and Warren worked on Casper the Friendly Ghost, Hot Stuff, Little Audrey, Richie Rich, and a bunch of other titles for Harvey. In fact, I guess they consider that he developed those characters more than like anyone else did.
This will give an idea how old we are. When I was younger, I had like Richie Rich and Donald Duck comic books.
Oh, yeah, I had those. My older brothers had them, too. I mean, they went way back. I think he worked on those for like 35 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, came across a bunch of those in like an antique mall we have local here, Angel's Antiques. They have a that's where I found that that Man from U.N.C.L.E. Issue.
Oh yeah, that was
They
awesome.
have a bunch of Gold Key comics, a lot of Richie Rich, a lot of Beetle Bailey, like things like that.
Yeah. Well, and
So
later he worked on Count Duckula,
I can
Ewoks,
see that.
Planetary, Royal Roy, and Top Dog. And that's when he was working under Star Comics for Marvel.
He looks it looks very much like how they did Big Guy and Rusty.
Yeah, I can
Same
see
kind
that.
of comic style with Rusty.
Well,
With
I'll tell you, and this is, we're getting ahead of ourselves on Transformers here. But when I saw these green aliens, they remind me of the Klosians from
Closings.
issue 80.
I'm gonna have to look at that.
You remember the final planet they went to?
Oh yeah.
It had the cute little aliens and bludgeoning them or just beating the crap out of them.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
I can see that now.
That's what they kind of reminded me of. But, they were pink and didn't have clothes on.
Man, the I love it. The aliens are like, oh God, he's got a story. He's always got a story. And don't ask questions. He's always got questions.
Oh, he's gonna ask the question.
He always does this.
And their months have crazy they're out. You know what? There's your Welsh words with no vowels right there.
Yeah, you're actually much respect to my Welsh people.
Yeah, I can't pronounce any of those.
Yeah, it was. You kind of got what they're trying to say, but it was a fun little introduction. I kind of enjoyed it. It was really lighthearted, but you
Yeah,
know,
he's looking for his mom and dad.
yeah.
And
And
they still don't know.
that was kind of the whole issue. Anyway.
And then you got these other little aliens. Like there's one that looks like a mandrill, and then there's like a two-headed one and a fish guy. And there's a
Yeah.
lot of variety on this planet.
Yeah, exactly. There's not, I guess there's not a lot of interbreeding here. They just all have they have a representation of each other. That's all they have. You
And
know, it
their greatest fear is an alien that looks and acts like Henny Youngman.
was
It tells his bad jokes.
God.
Because
God.
he's imagining some big, Cyclops Hulk monster, and they're terrified of Youngman, the most dreaded and feared creature on the planet. And it's no, nah, he's yeah, he's Henny Youngman.
God,
He's
we're
a
always
snork, kind of
kind of is
snork
actually.
version of Henny Youngman.
He kind of is.
Yeah.
We're gonna lose all of the people who aren't our age in this episode. You know that saying, Henny Youngman.
Man, that's before us even.
It really is, but at least we have an idea.
Yeah. That's because we watched Johnny Carson.
yeah, that's the only reason.
And that was just because we didn't want to go to bed.
I remember when I was younger, I would watch David Letterman if I got saved really late.
Oh yeah.
My mom was like, "That guy's trash," and yeah, he was, but he actually had a lot of cool stuff. I
Oh yeah,
guess.
especially when like Chris Elliott would show up and do something stupid in the
Oh
audience
yeah,
or something like
David
that.
Letterman
Yeah.
almost had better music, also.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So we are going to jump into the robot roundup.
Oh yeah, good stuff here.
Man, I didn't you finished reading this issue before I did. So you were asking me about a little place in northern Alabama.
Yes, Falkville.
Fogville, which is about like what I think 2 hours north of me. Good
Yeah, about
northwest.
two to three.
Yeah. Up I-65. So what happened in Fogville?
Well, apparently, you see, this is in 1973 in October, and the police got a call. A woman said she saw a UFO land like in a field out there. So the police chief, Jeff Greenhaw, went out to go investigate it. And yeah, he got all the way out there, and I mean he was young too. He was apparently young for the office. And he got all the way out there and he saw a guy that looked like a man that was like wrapped up in aluminum foil. That's what he thought. And he's about 6 feet tall, wearing reflective material. Yeah, he thought, you know, maybe there's aluminum foil, but there's no pieces afterwards, he said. So he doesn't know what to believe. But he said the head and neck were made together, like they were all connected. He was real bright, like someone rubbing mercury on a nickel, but smooth as glass. Like the different angles would give different lighting. And this is from an interview that he gave in 2021 about it.
Really?
Yeah, he went for years without talking about it because it apparently ruined his whole life.
Huh.
Yeah. And yeah, it blew him away. He said he thought he was going to deal with some idiot when he went out there. And he tried to get the guy's attention, and guy wouldn't even like pay attention to him. So he turned on his lights, and the thing started like walking away like really fast. So he chased it in the car and couldn't catch up to it. He was doing 35 and the thing was outpacing him. And he chased it through a field in his car and then ended up wrecking his police car trying to chase it, and it got away. It just disappeared into the distance, just booking it.
Wow.
So he ended up, like, no one believed him. Everybody thought he was a crackpot over it. He resigned from his office a few weeks later. Okay, he managed to take some photos of it, though.
I saw the we have one for the YouTube episode here.
Yeah, he got some photos of it because he had a Polaroid with him. So he got some of those off, and, you know, the news covered it. You know, people ridiculed him over it. It's like the nightmare you hear why people never report about aliens when they see them. And this happened to the guy. His house burned down, you know, lost his job, his wife left him. And then later, you know, thankfully these pictures got published because he had the pictures and his service revolver and his shotgun that he had with him. And someone broke into his house and took all of them. The pictures, the guns. Yeah. They just wiped him out. He was thought it was weird. They broke into his house and just took that. Just stuff that was involved with the, I guess, the sighting. Yeah.
Why the service revolver or shotgun? Was it like...
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's like not like he fired at radiation? It or anything. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, they obviously knew something, or they were just going to pawn it. One of the two.
Probably that.
But yeah, he said he came close to losing his sanity, but I guess he got remarried. But yeah, says his wife and God kept him from losing his sanity, and that's what kept him going. And he says, I'm still a believer in life after death, and at one point I didn't believe there was any other life source in the universe, but that changed. Like, he still stands by what he saw, and it scared the hell out of him.
Well, I'm glad he has his wife and God to keep
him. Well, and you really got to wonder, because, I mean, all he had to do is recant this and say, yeah, I was just some idiot in a aluminum foil, and it wouldn't have ruined his life, but he stuck by his story and it ruined his whole life.
I mean, I gotta give to him there, it was he went full in.
That lends some credence to it. At least he believed what he saw.
I'll give him that. The picture you found, well, it's definitely reflective.
I mean, you see why he thought it was a guy wrapped up in, you know, Reynolds wrap.
It looks like a guy version of Jiffy Pop.
Yeah. Or, you know, it looks almost like those asbestos suits.
It kind of does, actually.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
He's like an unreleased G.I. Joe.
Asbestos Joe.
Man. Mesothelioma. Sorry.
My grandfather died of that.
Oh, no.
My grandfather died of mesothelioma. I've got one of those weird cryptic things. I've got an x-ray of his lungs in my cedar chest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What line of work was he in that he got exposed to asbestos?
He actually worked at the Navy Yards, and they would be covering their pipes with basically like liquid asbestos.
Yeah.
They would tar those pipes and stuff to keep it's a flame retardant.
They probably didn't even give him protective gear for it. They're
Oh
just like,
God,
get
no.
out there and do it. Yeah.
It was like a miracle. It was a miracle thing at the time. I actually had years ago when I worked for Albertsons, I had a manager who swore that asbestos was a conspiracy to because it was too good of a material. They wouldn't have materials out there that weren't as flame retardant. And I'm like, Ray, my grandfather died of mesothelioma. He goes, oh, I didn't hear a thing about it after that. So,
He meant,
yeah.
oh, because you're in on it.
Oh, you're part of, you're in the deep state.
Yeah. Yeah. I was about to go here.
Yeah. My
It's the
grandfather's
Illuminati.
lungs were part of the deep state also.
You're in the upper echelons.
I bet you like Comet Pizza also.
Yeah.
So we go into Matt and the Cat.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Well, sorry, before we get into that, we dealt with
Oh
was it?
gosh, I'm sorry, I jumped
Yeah.
ahead.
Yeah, Hajime Soriyama,
Yes.
and it talks about his robot art, which he did a lot of robot art that you saw if you were around in the 70s and 80s, you saw his robot art.
Yeah.
And I like how they go over like a lot of the nicer ones, but he did a lot of erotic robot
Yeah,
art.
he did. He
Yeah,
did. As soon as you see the style, you know exactly who it is.
you're like, oh, Heavy Metal Magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very heavy metal adjacent.
And then we have an interview with Anthony
Anthony
Daniels.
Daniels. Yeah. C-3PO.
Yeah. I like how they talk about all the different iterations they went for his costume.
Oh, yeah.
He was
Well,
tortured,
he
basically.
was. It's actually kind of cool. They have the Metropolitan, sorry, Metropolis,
Oh, Metropolis Maria. Yeah.
Maria here, because the original art for C-3PO was very Metropolis Maria.
Yeah, and they're working on a remake right now of
I know. I saw
Metropolis.
that. Yeah,
Yeah.
there is. There's some great remakes. I would hope that really great. I mean, we actually there's a Nosferatu remake coming out.
Two of them.
Two of them?
There's two of them were at simultaneous.
Huh. Okay,
Yeah.
I've seen one of them. The trailer
Yeah.
for one of them looks really good.
And then the Metropolis remake is starring Lindy Booth, which
Wendy Booth.
she played Nicole in Dawn of the Dead, and she was a night bitch in Kick-Ass 2.
I don't think I've ever seen Kick-Ass 2, but I know you're talking about from not like not yeah.
Yeah. And she's playing Maria.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting.
That's right, because I haven't
She was on
seen a
Strange
couple.
New Worlds also. She played Allura, who was like the former love interest of Captain Pike.
Yes.
I want to say that was on the planet where they had the little kid they had to hook into the machine. Yeah, that was her. So she'll be doing Maria.
Okay. I actually I it's kind of interesting, the whole thing with the Metropolis. I haven't seen it in years. I haven't watched it in years.
Yeah.
Where there's the Maria who's leading the revolution, and there's the robot,
Yeah.
and you realize the correlation between. I'm like, if you haven't watched Metropolis, go watch it.
Oh yeah, Fritz
People,
Lang's.
yeah, I
And
actually
then,
I really love M also. If you want to watch some really good silent movie stuff, has Peter
yeah.
Lorre.
And there's a good copy of Metropolis where Queen did like the soundtrack for it.
Really? Okay,
Yeah.
let's take a look
Because
at that.
they've lost the soundtrack to the original
Yeah.
1927, so there's several versions out there where different people did music for it, and Queen actually did a version. So,
I haven't seen the Queen version. I've seen other people doing music for it, so I'll check that out.
and it's the inspiration for Ghost on the Pinnacle to the Pit video.
Oh, real? I'll have to look at that.
Yeah.
Our friend of the podcast, Jehu, loves some Ghost, so I'll have to.
Oh, and then see, he knows exactly what we're talking
Oh,
about.
I'm sure he does. Anthony Daniels, basically good interview. He was not very comfortable. He's not really happy. Metropolis.
Allergic to latex.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Majorly allergic to latex.
Whoops. Well, luckily, like
Yeah.
the C-3PO costume was pretty much plastic.
Yeah. And what they built a special cooling suit for him when they were in
Yeah.
Tunisia.
Yeah, it had to because it was so bad out there.
Yeah.
Didn't they film Mad Max Fury Road in Tunisia too?
I think so. I mean, it's kind of their go-to for like desert locations.
Yeah, a wasteland like kind of looks. So yeah,
I
anyways.
mean, you wonder the why you'd go from Australia to Tunisia. I mean, Australia has plenty of desert.
Well, the reason they did that with Fury Road is they had some like really crazy weird rainstorms and everything started blooming for the first time in
Oh,
years.
it ruined the desert
Oh, it
for the
did.
movie.
And the I'm th thinking the name of the director of God, the guy who did George Miller. George Miller.
Yeah, George Miller.
Most directors and stuff would just say like, "Well, we'll work around it." He picked up everything and shipped it all out to Tunisia. Like the studio was like, okay, it's George Miller, we'll do it. Yeah, but most people would have been like, well, because it was in this weird like Western Australia like desert, like extremely dry desert where it never rains, and it had a massive rainstorm and everything started blooming.
Oh yeah, usually when that happens, like everything just pops out and
Yeah,
blooms and
exactly. And it's funny, like they Charlize Theron was like, she shaved her head 3 times for that movie. Because the first time it didn't get going, second time it was out there in Australia. Third time they went to Tunisia, she was like, all right, look, third time we're doing this. So yeah. Actually,
and
I listened to a podcast about that recently. It's really
well, and like
interesting, actually.
Uncle Owen and Amber Ruth's house is still out there in Tunisia.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. I think last time they checked it, well, this is before they did the sequels, but apparently there was a terrorist cell living in it.
No sh nope. I'm about
Yeah.
to say something else.
No
I'm gonna...
shoot.
No shoot.
No
No
shoot.
shoot. No
No
shoot.
shoot. No shoot.
Wow.
Oh, and they let us off the hook for the April Fool's joke in here.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's if you look where Maria is, there's a little dark colored box on the right that says "Fooled You."
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes, and it's as we suspected.
Well, at least you
It,
picked up on it.
yeah, it was
Because,
Jasper the robot.
I mean, as I know, you love you some April Fools.
Oh yes, I do.
Yeah, you would be the one pick up on it. I was totally oblivious. I knew it was happening, but I can't see it. But
Well,
finally.
apparently it was a mock-up of what an industrial robot might look like. And he was called Wreck-It, or there's a Wreck-It industrial robot. So that's why you couldn't find Jasper. You know, you were just tearing up the internet looking for anything about Jasper,
There's
and you couldn't.
nothing, nothing.
Yeah, that's because there is nothing. This is it.
UK comics. But finally, I'm so thankful. We're here to Matt and the Cat.
Matt and the Cat.
I'm so thankful. But the ship is exterior shown there. They're showing up at the Darkon planet.
Yes.
What is the Let me look. Well, it doesn't really tell you. It's just like home planet of Darkon with onboard Matt and his feline psychic. Oomph. There's a little moon out there that says Marvel with a little arrow pointing.
Yeah.
See that? So the
It's like Marvin the Martian left it there.
yeah, actually, it looks like the size of the little prince kind of moon.
Yeah.
But
It was tiny.
yeah, it's real tiny. There's a lot of him and Han that are like the guy, a little robot, that came to give them like a meal or whatever,
Yeah.
is like, oh, you're gonna be sold off as slaves. We got to do something about this.
And they
And
still haven't fed Hump.
no, he's hungry and he's an angry little cat.
And I think the worst part, at least to Matt, is they're going to be separated. And the worst part to Hump is he still hasn't eaten.
Yeah, that was kind of the whole like da-ting thing at the end.
Yeah.
Rim
And
shot.
then, we have the question for the ages is what's a robot's favorite TV program? And the answer is Clankety Clank. It's hidden in the margins right there by Matt and the Cat.
What?
Yeah.
Clink. That's a terrible. What is that?
I don't even know what Clankety Clank is.
Awful.
I meant to look that up, but maybe I'll look that up for the next show and we'll discuss a little Clankety Clank.
You know, though, the best part of the ending of this issue is there is a turtle takeaway.
Oh, yes.
There's a little contest. So, you know, we mentioned like last issue was last issue or the issue before that where they had the turtles.
That was an April Fool's issue.
Two issues ago. It was the last one. Yeah. So it was like the little robot turtles.
Mm-hmm.
And you could win one. Man, they are good about giving away stuff.
They're giving away real robots.
Yeah.
We were so left out in the U.S.
We really were. Basically, you had to solve a word puzzle on this turtle shell. And you wrote your answer and then you like gave your name and address. That was pretty nice robotics for like a comic book kid.
Oh, Marvel US didn't give us anything. They give out Transformers. They give out cameras. They give out robots. Yeah. They're like, you got a comic book, kid. Take off.
And most of all, they had a really good coloring.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's Gina Hart.
Gina Hart. Carrying the weight on that.
Now, we didn't. She was like looking at Yom-Tov and saying, look what I got. Look what I got, Yom-Tov. Hey, Neil, you could be good, but you're not. So, yeah, that's what we had. And that's the end of the issue ends.
Yeah, we're just left hanging with that. I mean, it seems like we got a lot less Transformers this issue.
We really did.
I feel like they made room for Planetary.
I feel like there's five issues, basically, for the storyline. It could have been done four and filled it out a little more, but I was feel like they were giving they're trying to like diversify a bit, and I don't know if it's the right move, but I'm not a business guy in the UK Marvel.
I'm just looking. Okay, we had 6 pages of Transformers.
Yeah,
we had 7 pages of Machine Man.
Yeah, it felt like 20, but yes.
Yeah,
that's 6 or 8 pages of Planetary. I'm trying to remember. It was like 6 or 8.
It's five.
Okay. Five. Well,
it felt like it was more.
Yeah. But we didn't have like little Autobot from the Autobot archives or whatever, the fact file.
That's kind of what they swapped out Planetary for.
Yeah.
And see, Planetary didn't run long in Star Comics. It only ran for like 12 issues.
Okay.
So we'll get a few of those here and there. But the Transformers fact files will be back. We'll see more of those in the future as well.
Honestly, Planetary is fun. I kind of laughed at it and everything, but wasn't there?
Yeah, it's silly.
Yeah, little substance. It was silly.
I'm really looking forward to the next issue's cover because we get a little preview of it here above Matt and the Cat with just Megatron having the biggest laugh of his life.
I saw that. It was the
cartoon that would have been his like maniacal, how ironic laugh right there.
Yeah, actually, it's very Batman's Joker. Like all.
Oh right. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's gonna be fantastic. Well, next week we will be working on the Emmy within Part 5. But
we got another extract from the Authentic Stories files coming up next issue.
Nice, but also during that time between this issue and next, we have a special episode coming out, so we will see y'all later, and if you've listened to this long, I hope to see you in the next one, so give us some likes, some thumbs up, some follows, tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell everyone, tell your cousin, and we will see you next time. So everyone, thank you for being here, and Lou, you want to take us out?
Oh,
yeah.
Bye.
See you later, everyone.
More Than Meeses Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.